Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of building blocks, we finished chapter 1, and now we're starting to answer the questions on page 2. Okay, our next question is, number 4, who keeps you saved? The church? Christ. You, by your efforts. Is the letter C. B was Christ, and A is the church. Well, actually, it's B, Christ. He's the one who keeps you saved. It's not you, it's not your efforts, it's not the church. Number 5, in order for you to lose your salvation, God must lose His Holy Spirit. And the word there, Spirit, is left in blanks there so that you can fill it in, and that is the Holy Spirit. Question number 6, is anyone saved or kept by his work? Well, the answer there is no. And then finally, what is God's gift? Well, it's eternal life, and it's through, and only through, Jesus Christ our Lord. And at the bottom of the page there in the booklet, it says, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And my friend, that is true. Once you receive Christ, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, that's chapter 1, and I hope that that is a help to you. But now, the very next chapter, you receive Christ as your Savior. We want to make sure that you understand that and then have that assurance. But the very first thing that you should do after your salvation is to be baptized. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I got baptized as a baby. Well, that's not the way it works, okay? It doesn't work that way. So I want you to follow along. It'll be chapter 2, and follow along as we go along here. And again, everything that I say is not in the booklet right now, or is more than what is in the booklet. I'm pretty well telling you what's in the booklet, but I'm also giving just a few extra things. So please listen, and listen closely. Now, baptism to follow is chapter 2. Baptism does not save your soul. When you invited Christ into your life, you became as saved as you ever will be. One need look only to the thief on the cross to see a person who was saved, who never belonged to a church, nor was he baptized. And yet we know by the scriptural account, Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So what then is baptism? Baptism is your first step in your confession of Christ before men. The word baptize comes from a Greek word, baptizo, and it simply means to immerse. In Matthew chapter 3, and verse 16 and 17, we read this, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, Christ was baptized, and yet he was the creator of the heaven and the earth. He did not sin, so why did he need to be baptized? Well, he said that he was fulfilling all righteousness. You see, righteousness, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25, is obeying God. Okay, the Father's will after your salvation is to be baptized. And so Jesus, although he didn't really need to be baptized, did so because he was fulfilling all righteousness in his humanity. And so he left us an example for us to follow. Now, isn't that interesting? If Jesus did that, and he did, why do so many people have a problem with getting baptized after their salvation, not only fulfilling this command of the Lord, but doing it because it's the righteous thing to do? And sometimes I wonder, now, I'm not saying the person's not saved if he won't get baptized, because baptism doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus Christ is what saved you when he died, was buried for you, and rose from the dead. But nonetheless, this is entering into a commitment of your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And so if you really mean this thing, the first thing you ought to do is obey him. So to disobey him on the very first command after salvation is not a good idea. So even if you were baptized as a baby, that doesn't show anything because you weren't saved. Okay, baptism comes after your salvation. We'll say more about that as we go on. Now, Acts chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39 that I'm going to read to you in just a moment here, they show us that about baptism. Okay, it shows us something about it. Now, Matthew, in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, when we read that, that really just showed us something about the fact that Christ was baptized. But Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 indicates that this is how Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Whether it was Christ in the River Jordan in Matthew chapter 3, or whether it was Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, it was by immersion, which the word means. Let me read those verses to you. Acts chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39. And in there, now I want you to listen closely because this is important that you hear. It's important that you understand it. Philip was commanded by God to go out to the wilderness and desert, and he would see a man, and there's a man, it's an Ethiopian eunuch, as he was riding along in his chariot, and he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. God said, go to him. As he heard the guy reading, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, how can I, unless somebody explains it? And the Bible account tells us that at that point, Philip talked to him and preached unto him Jesus, showing that Isaiah 53, a chapter about the cross of Christ, 700 years before he actually died on the cross for our sins, it was all about Jesus. And so the Ethiopian eunuch received Christ. And so we take up in verse 38 of Acts 8, and he says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. Now, if they both go into the water, they're both not going into a cup. Okay, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So, he baptized him by immersion. That is, he laid him back underneath the water and brought them back up. And of course, then they came up out of the water. In Acts chapter 10, we have when God told Peter to go and preach to the Gentiles, a man by the name of Cornelius and his house, because they had a heart for God. They just didn't know the way of salvation. They wanted to be saved. They didn't know what to do. He wanted to know God. And so Peter goes, he preaches unto him, Jesus, as the only way of salvation, his death, burial, and resurrection. And they believe it and receive it. And upon doing so, then we read in Acts 10:47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So these people were baptized. Now some wonder if sprinkling is the same thing, since other churches also call it baptism. Well, actually, the first records of sprinkling are not until about A.D. 250. As a matter of fact, it tells us that there was a man so sick and on his deathbed, they dare not remove him from that place, and so they sprinkled him with water. But the man was wanting to be identified with Jesus Christ. It was not until A.D. 1311 that the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Ravenna made sprinkling an official, allowable mode of baptism. Now, in an aside note, one of the sad things, but it's one of those things you kind of smile too, but it's really sad. It's not something to smile about, but they had a problem that at times when they'd baptize babies, immerse them, they drowned them. And it wasn't on purpose. And so they came up with this, and it was a whole lot better for them. The Church of England adopted sprinkling in A.D. 1644 by an act of Parliament. Of course, the Church of England is a state church. It was by a vote of 25-24. One vote, that is, that sprinkling became the mode of baptism. Baptists are called Baptists because they re-baptize people after their salvation, which was according to the Lord's command. Stephen, the Bishop of Rome, excommunicated many of the pastors of Asia Minor in A.D. 253. For holding to this biblical view that baptism comes after salvation, and yet that's what the Bible taught. And we know from the command of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, when he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them, okay, is to teach them the gospel.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.